Life with God is full of surprises. Jane asked me if I would share briefly with you today about my experiences of writing a book and my plans to move to Ethiopia to serve in Bible translation. This is a picture of Ethiopia, so the internet assures me. I've never actually been, so I'll have to assume that this will be the view out of my window until proved otherwise. In many ways, when I start throwing around the terms book writing and Bible translation and Ethiopia, I still feel like I'm talking about someone else. 10 years ago, I could safely say none of those things featured in my life plan. But with hindsight, perhaps I didn't really have much of a plan back then anyway. I think I was probably content with having an interesting job and making myself useful at church and perhaps improving my personal best score for online Scrabble. Round about the middle of 2011, that all changed when a guy walked into a bar, true story, and said to me, "Have you ever thought you should consider going into full-time vocational ministry?" I said, "Absolutely not, but thanks for asking." And sure enough, less than 2 years later, I had left my job, started a full-time degree here at Moore College, and already had wheels in motion to join Wycliffe Bible Translators with a view to serving long-term overseas. Turns out, trying to win arguments can be dangerous. To be frank, I was a bit riled to have this fairly new acquaintance bowl up out of the blue and challenge me on my entire life direction. I'm not usually much of a combative person, being British and all that, but for some reason I really wasn't ready to let this one drop. I was adamant that my calling lay in the secular workforce, and I was quite convinced I could make a watertight biblical case for why that was so. Off I went to do my research, listen to some talks, and draw a few flowcharts, my favourite thing. For the record, nothing I read or heard actually changed my mind on the basic principle I was trying to defend. I'm still all for Christians pursuing careers out in the world, so to speak. It was just that something else happened to me in that process. It wasn't so much a grand revelation as just a quiet realization that I never had quite found my vocation in life, and that God might just have a job lined up for me that was a world away, or at least several continents away, from anything I'd considered before. The Lord taps us on the shoulder in the most unexpected ways. But in looking back, I realized he'd already gently poked me on the shoulder to think about Bible translation a good 5 or 6 years earlier. I was not long out of university, living in a new city, and feeling pretty confident and comfortable as I settled into my first job and my nice middle-class church. Then a man from Wycliffe came to give a talk one night. And for the first time, it dawned on me that there are over 1,500 language groups worldwide, equating to around 180 million people, with no access to God's word in their mother tongue. I still remember his moving stories of the people and communities who have a conception of God, but believe that he can't love them because he doesn't speak their language. And I was disturbed to hear of the real damage that can be done in indigenous churches where the Bible is absent or incomplete or incomprehensible. And then I heard inspiring stories of Wycliffe workers, men and women who committed to living alongside these minority peoples throughout the globe, supporting them to produce faithful, clear translations of God's word in their heart language, with life-transforming results. And for a fleeting moment, I thought, I could see myself doing this. Clearly, I had a short attention span in my 20s, because it took several years, a move halfway across the world, and an unsolicited conversation in a bar one night to bring Bible translation back onto my radar. God's plans can be slow burners, but I think that's entirely okay. Once I'd swallowed the last of my dented pride and acknowledged my bar friend may have had a point, it really was a very easy decision to follow this path. And so before I knew it, I was taking my seat up in the Knox Lecture Theatre, back in the day when this shiny new building was still just a twinkle in Mark Thompson's eye. And so began the heady, exhausting, joyous, and all too fleeting experience that is full-time theological study. I'm not on commission for saying this, but my time at Moore College really was invaluable. I learnt to read the Bible in forwards and backwards languages. I vastly expanded my understanding of God's character and salvation plans. I wrestled with the knotty issues of Christian ministry and ethics. And out of the classroom, I learned a lot about how to live well in fellowship and community with other Christians, which is a great thing, even, or perhaps especially, for us introverted Wycliffe types. Come fourth year, it was time to think about a research project. For some strange reason, considering Old Testament had never been my strong suit at college, I decided to write my project on Job, or more specifically, on Job's friends. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, the verbally incontinent wise guy trio that no one wants around in a crisis. But here's the important thing, I think. Job's friends do not all say the same things as each other. That's my dozen word summary of my thesis, but I can go up to 15,000 words if you're really interested. The project got handed in, college ended, and Job and I went on a long break. I headed back to England to go to Word Nerd School, aka Wycliffe Linguistics Training, and started looking at possible destinations to serve. I flirted with a plan to go to Tanzania, but sadly, Tanzania did not flirt back. It wasn't me, it was them. The government suddenly decided they were giving away too many jobs to foreigners and refused to grant me a work permit. Back to the drawing board, and before very long, I was content that I'd found a good fit with a translation team in Ethiopia instead. In the interim period, I popped back to Sydney and was sitting in the college library with my laptop one day, obviously doing something boring but important, because next thing I found myself idly reading back over my fourth year project. Right at the end of the paper, I'd listed off half a dozen bullet points under the heading Lessons on Comfort. I guess it had struck me that the Book of Job tells us so much about how not to comfort suffering people, we must surely be able to learn something from it about what good Christian comforting actually looks like. I have an added stake in this topic because, being British, I am by nature horribly awkward about public displays of emotion and likely to be the first person to put their foot in their mouth when someone is having a hard time and looking to be comforted. The next half an hour or so played out something like this. I thought, I think there could be a book in this. I should talk to my friend Kirsten, who works at Matthias Media. I left the library, stood at the traffic lights to cross King Street, and of course the first person I saw was Kirsten, standing on the other side of the road. I said, hi, I'm thinking of writing a book about comfort, or slightly extended words to that effect. She said, that sounds great. I'll put you in touch with my editor. A few forms and some emails later, Matthias were kind enough to give me a provisional green light, and the venture got underway that, for a long time, I would furtively describe as my writing project. 18 months on, and with most of a draft manuscript under my belt, I think I'm finally comfortable with calling it a book project, but still feel the need to use air quotes just for now. My loose ambition is that come next year's P&A conference, I'll be out the other side of the publishing process. We'll see. I probably won't be at the conference, so perhaps someone can indulge me and do a book review on the day. Or a book review, if I'm still feeling a bit sheepish about it. At the risk of giving out spoilers, my book is not going to contain the words of eternal life. But how incredible that we do have a book in our hands, setting out the whole counsel of God and everything we need to know for life and godliness. And praise God for those men of history who labored to bring us the Bible in English, many at the cost of their own lives. It can be a little too easy to take our heritage for granted sometimes. I know my work in Ethiopia will represent only a tiny drop in the ocean of the vast unfinished task that is Bible translation, but I'm thankful to God for the opportunity to pay my privileges forward ever so slightly. Please do keep the ministry of Wycliffe on your radars and in your prayers. There are millions of precious souls around the world who are still waiting to hear and understand the truth that will set them free. We don't want language to be the barrier that denies them access to that truth. We don't want them to hear a vague or watered-down gospel by word of mouth in a church without Bibles, or to struggle to read God's word in a second language. No, we long for them to meet Jesus for themselves in the pages of Scripture, to hear him speak in the language of their hearts, and to be able to say, like those long-ago people of Samaria in John's gospel, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the savior of the world. Well, the countdown is on now, and in a month or so, I should be on a plane and headed for this view. Life will probably change quite a lot from then on. If you'd be interested to keep in touch, please do come and grab one of these contact cards for me afterwards. I'd love to continue sharing the journey with you. So, seeing as I'm standing at the chapel preaching lectern, it seems only right to end with a question. How are we going to apply this to our lives? I imagine a lot of you sitting here today have already found your niche in vocational ministry or in secular careers. That's great too. And I probably won't be able to talk you into switching directions and becoming Bible translators, though by all means pray about that if the thought occurs to you. I do imagine, though, that plenty of you have a Christian book lurking in you, or another book if you've already written one. Don't be shy to pursue and share those ideas. Matthias Media are a very friendly bunch, and I suspect there are plenty of others who will spur you on to take up the challenge. Finally, I encourage you to look out for those people in your congregations and friendship circles who may just be missionaries, pastors, Bible translators, or book authors in the making, but don't quite know it yet. Why not be that first tap on the shoulder for them? Throw out a wild card and ask them if they'd ever think about going into ministry. Start an argument with them in a bar if necessary. You just never know where God might take things next. Thank you.